really, I hope you pick up the derech of not, I told you once, not skipping words, of trying to make sense of what the Gemara is saying and what the Makoros are. Still in the sugya, Mem Gimel Amar Aleph, Ein Kli Nito L'Dovar Anito. The concept that even though a keli itself is not mukse, once you assign it to a task, you have to ask, is that task proper for Shabbos or not? And if you assign it to a task that's not normally intended, that's also considered mukse. So you can have a Rabbi Yitzchok who says, a chicken laid an egg. I can't use a kli to cover the egg. I don't do anything to the kli. I don't know about the kli meichono, right? It didn't become a bosses l'dover also. Yet, that's not an intended use of the kli. The whole sugya is so dependent on the Rambam's Hezbel that Mukse was designed as a siog, as a gedder against Hutzor. And therefore, you see, they argue, to what extent am I trying to minimize your contact with Caleb? But you can't forget, you're dealing with the Rabbana. So part of it is an attempted analysis of the Rabbonin's mind when they made the Tekona. What was in their mind when they did the Tekona? Tekona is in. Mux is here to stay except for Rav Shimon. Right. Even Rav Shimon agrees to a Muxa. I told you of Haktsor Midaiti. A Muxa of Chesun Kis is not a special exemption. It was of Chesun Kis. The exemption is because if you decide you're not going to use it, that's still the Rabbanon, but that is a chasoron in hachono, in muchon. I refresh your memory. I told you that in muchon you have Rashi in Be'er, who says that's an iso d'raisa when it comes to achilo. When it comes to ochel, it's a d'raisa. When it comes to other things, it's the Rabbanon. So look at, we pick up here again, another case. On all the cases, Rav Yisrael didn't back down, and he had one teretz. Tzorch l'mekomo. There's an exemption in Mukse, right? That a tzorch l'gufo l'mekomo, right? That is never a restriction. Chazal didn't do that. They didn't want you to have a hammer lying in the middle of the dining room floor. You can pick it up because it's in the wrong place. Once you pick it up, say there's no halacha like minimize the iso. There's no minimization of the iso, whether you walk it down to the basement or whether you slip it under the sofa. Toshma, Dr. Posen Matzolos Agabe Yavonim B'Shabbos. You can take a blanket, a tablecloth, right, and cover over these stones on Shabbos. Whose stones, what stones, we don't know. Nevertheless, what did you do? What's the classic mukse? The classic mukse is Eitzim Avonim. Here you have Avonim, that I mukse, and I want to protect it for some reason, from rain or whatever it is, right? So I can take הכלי הניטו לדובר שאינו ניטו. זה הקשן רב יסוק. Or anyone else who holds that way. And for the Gemara, ba'avonim demkuruzolos lechazin lebeis hakisei. Okay. I mentioned to you once before that this was once accepted method of personal hygiene, right? Toilet paper was not available. What was used was pointy stones, stones that tapering stones, which are used to wipe the area. And therefore, these stones are dover hanito, therefore it's no higher from there. You already have, however, implied in the statement, right? Why would anyone tell you that then? Why would the Gemara mention that I can take a blanket, a tablecloth, and cover up my chair? Naturally, chairs are dover hanito, there's no reason not to cover your chair. If these are stones that are designated for bathroom use, why would the Gemara tell you that? So you have to give a hesber, because the very statement that it's muto lets you know that it's also. To say that these are muto means, but if it were not, because it would be also, right? So you have to say love dafke, right? You might have to learn pshat that stones are so classic muksa that in order to understand that, it could be that the Chazal would have delimited how you consider stones. When you need to use it for personal hygiene, then they're okay. But otherwise, they're mukse. I have a raya to that hezbo. Because the Gemara later on will say, we will matter you to carry, even in the kamalis, a handful of stones necessary for your personal hygiene. Two handfuls, no. One handful, yeah. So you see, they didn't liberate the stones from the concern of muksa. Because if so, why I want to put 20 stones? If these are all toilet paper stones, that one of them, how many? The answer is no. It had to be also a kind of a eis hatzorech, a kind of what's moko, there where it's a hefsid merubo, a hefsid mokum tsar, etc., etc. Okay, here the hezbollah. The very fact that you have to tell me that it's muto to put something on avodah mekuzah laws, right, would indicate that if it weren't avodah mekuzah laws, it would be also to do so. Therefore, ain kli nito elo davar nito. You have the same raya. So I say the answer has to be lav davka. It could be that they had to tell you about mekuzah laws because they are in themselves an exemption from a classic muksa. And since avonim are the definition of muksa, we say, what is muksa? Avonim is muksa, right? Therefore, you see by there's so much muksa, the Chazal didn't liberate avonim mekuzah laws from the classification of muksa. Haraya, they limit you in how many you can take upstairs, and how many you can take out to the outhouse. And since they limit you to there, you see, if there were avodah mekuzah laws, it's now similar to anything else in the house, it's now dover hanito, then why do you care how many you take? The very fact that they limit you only to one handful indicates that there's still an aspect of muksa associated with it. Therefore, the Gemara has to tell you, a chidush, even as an aspect of muksa, right? But I'm not going to extend it and put an isur on ein kli nitel elo dover hanitel. Okay, I won't call this a dover she'eino nitel because I've limited you on the amount. Next, toshma. Posen maseros agabi levonim. I'm sorry, agabi levenim. I can cover over bricks. Bricks are the same thing. Avonim, like avonim, they're the classic muksa, right? And for the Gemara's, both about sailing levenim and shabbos. And for the Gemara, no, these are not the bricks left over. These bricks already have been assigned for a Tzorach Shabbos. These are bricks left over from building. He built already, finished building. What are the bricks doing there? He's going to use them, but the chazion lemizgor layu, I can use it as a support to lean on it. See, here, you remember, I think I shared that with you, and I have this presentation that's been such a popular one around the world, literally, on science in the service of Aloha. So I have one of the examples given, a lot from Mishnah Chassid and so on, about twins that can be born apart, and twins that disappear, one disappears, etc., show that there's a scientific basis for it, etc. Here, I use that, the Chosel Mizgur Ayu, there, for what Chazal said, that on Pesach, you must lean to your left side. You remember? What the heck is their business? I want to eat, not leaning. I want to eat to my right side. Who made them, right, the masters over me, that how I'm going to lean when I eat is their business. So I told you there was a beautiful article published in Nature of a gastroenterologist who went to Italy. He had a hush for art, and he went to study the art, and a man with a good eye, he noticed every time they portray, either in painting or in sculpture, right, people eating, they're always leaning on the left side. So he came back, he said, maybe there's something to it. And since his specialization was in GERD, regurgitation problems, right? What you call acid stomach or whatever it is.
Reflux.
So he said he advised his patients to eat only on the left side. And all of them got cured. Then he went and published the analysis, how the stomach turns, etc. That when you lean on your left side, two things happen. One, you don't build up gas or whatever it is that builds up there. And number two, you can put more food in the stomach when you lean on that side.
Really?
It's like and the people who are being represented by the culture are people who made a very point about eating as much as they could. Remember, in Roman time, there was a spot outside where they went out and vomited so they can come back and eat some more.
Yeah. Yeah.
The idea though, that the Chiddush is that they're all leaning on the left side. But leaning was everybody. The normal way of eating was to eating in a reclined position. That's what he says. I left over some bricks, right? Well, fine now when I'm out on my lawn and they bring me a sandwich or something to eat, I'll be able to use the bricks to lean on, right? That's also a Tzorach Shabbos, therefore it's not Muktzeh. So why are these bricks, even though they were bricks Shenishtayim and Abinyan, since they're not part of my building plans, right? They are now there. Why are they there? If you finish building, you take your bricks away, or you sell them back, or you give them away to somebody. The answer is, I've kept them as a reclining method. That says the Chosi Lemizga Layu. He kept them so that when he eats, he can use them to lean against. All right. Here you have to know a little about.
I was just going to ask. Is there, do we have to designate them before Shabbos, or just?
Yeah. That's the assumption.
Oh.
That you left them over before Shabbos, put that intent.
Uh-huh. So any?
No, you can't just take any bricks, part of a binyan. I didn't finish building, not left over from the building. So, now it's Shabbos, I want to eat something, I'll take some of those bricks and use them. That's classic muktzeh. That's muktzeh esav avonim. He says, these bricks are bricks left over. He says, see, the shtayer mi binyana, bricks left over from his building. So he's no longer involved in a building project.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Here you have to know a little bit about apiary science, right? The science of bee raising. Okay. The bees, not too smart. Oh, by the way, let me add something also. I got to add that to my collection of science in the service of halacha. Why is honey kosher? Eretz zavas cholav u'dvash is dvash tamarim, not dvash dvorim. Hayotzi min ha'osor osor.
You have the sugya in Magen.
Huh?
The sugya in Gemara.
Yes. Why is it? Why is it?
But it's not the ochel.
Huh?
It's not ochel. It's
not ochel. Yeah, it's ochel. Why is it ochel?
It comes from the pollen, not the bees themselves. Huh? It comes from the pollen that the bees gather together.
Yeah.
So it's not their own. It's not something they excrete from their own bodies. It's just something that they carry over and produce.
Okay. The nectar.
Like
pollen doesn't make honey.
Oh, the nectar.
The nectar is kept in a sac. Right. It doesn't enter into the metabolism of the animal. If we enter the metabolism of the animal, I guess even also. So donkey milk is also because it comes from a donkey, right? Yeah. Cow milk is kosher because it comes from a kosher animal. If you went around gathering nectar from flowers, it wouldn't become honey. So, yeah, there may be something that the bee does. But it's not yotze min, right? It most likely is some kind of an enzyme that leaks into there, not enough to cause anything. Okay, the nectar alone is sweet, etc. It's edible. It's not making an ochel. Who said so? How do you know so? So 2 weeks ago, there was an article in the paper there that a beekeeper, a lady who did it as a hobby, but she has a lot of beehives, right? And she sells the honey. If you remember, suddenly the honey, or the bees even, came back painted red. And the honey they made was red. Deep red. No one could understand. And then soon found out that about a half a mile down the road, there's a factory that makes maraschino cherries. You know what they are? It's Chazarai cherries, most likely cause cancer. Poison they put in. Yeah. I'll tell you this. Yeah, if you ate up a jar of maraschino cherries, you stop breathing.
Wait. Sorry, what are maraschino cherries?
No, they are. Very, very, very red.
You put them on the ice cream.
Like in drinks, like in alcoholic drinks. Super, super sweet.
Right.
Okay, you eat a jar of them, you'll stop breathing?
Yeah.
Really?
What do you mean? Wait.
Why? They use as a preservative there in the small amount, a few cherries, okay. Eat up a jar of cherries, you'll stop breathing. The preservative they use, right, is one that interferes with respiration. Well known. Anyway, these bees.
Kids love eating this stuff.
These bees have seichel. Lazy, good for nothing bees. Watch, they run around to the flowers and collect the nectar they had in the garbage dumps, the syrup and the cherries out there. So the bees all headed for that. And they came back and they produced maraschino cherry juice. They didn't produce any honey. Right? Araya that the bee doesn't eat the nectar and produce the honey, but merely Kibolo kachpolto. Water takes in, it gives out.
But the bees were red also, you said.
The bees were, but got stained from...
Oh, were stained, okay.
From sitting in the maraschino chair. But these lazy bees found a gold mine on the Tzia Gadola. Right? Instead of running around to little flowers, they came to a big dump and took the sugar from there. But it was maybe for the bees themselves, it would have been adequate for their food. Because they're just looking largely for the sugar content. Right? Yeah. But for us, it ruined the honey crop that... Yeah, so they now... had to plead with the Maraschino Cherry Company. They had to put screens around their place so that the bees can't go in. All right. Anyway, that's a side comment. Toshma posen matzelas agabe kaveres devorim. You can go ahead and take a blanket, a bath towel, and put it over the hive on Shabbos. Why? The hives are out there in the hot sun. Right? You want to protect the bees. The hounds will kill them.
Sa'id, though, isn't it?
Huh?
Why isn't that Sa'id?
Well, it is. We'll be there soon. We'll be there in a minute. Okay. B'chama b'pnei achama b'kshom b'nei akshamim u'b'vat lo yiskavei lo tzut. He has no kavanah to it. So obviously from Tarsus who takes care of that. No, it's kavanah lo tzud, but psikresha, I leave a little hole. I don't cover it up 100%, meaning I cover it up, but I leave a place where the bees want to get out, they can go out.
What's the point of
I'm not interested in capturing the bees. I'm interested in maybe protecting them. So those who want to go out and forage for food, they can go out. That's a simple test. Tosfos makes a big tumult of it. We'll get to it. And for the Gemara, so what is? And bees are muksa on Shabbos. All Baal Chai are muksa on Shabbos. So you're doing it for the purpose of the bees.
All Baal Chai are muksa on Shabbat? All Baal Chai are muksa?
Right.
If you own a dog is muksa?
Huh?
If you own a dog is muksa on Shabbat?
Yes, because you weren't here one day.
Sorry,
You discussed it. According to most modern poskim, yes, it's also. It doesn't make sense. You have a lap dog, as explained, that you sits on your lap while you're doing the daf yomi, and it's hard to say that animal's muksa. Okay. And I brought a raya from a tesis that says a tzipo, l'shasik bo es atinok, that a parakeet, a parrot, a canary that you buy as a pet is not muksa. Okay. But nevertheless, most poskim today don't make an allowance for a pet because they're citing sources, makoros for it, which are not relevant to the case. All the makovas have to do with sheepdogs, etc., which are
work dogs
designed to bite people, not to lick them. Right. The Hachamayah scheme and Nikadosh. No, I'm not protecting the hive because I want to protect the bees. Bees will take care of themselves. It's too hot, they'll go out and hide someplace, always. I don't want to melt my honey in the hives. Remember the honey, how's the honey in the hives? In the honeycomb. Everybody knows what a honeycomb is?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone here not see a honeycomb? Anyone did see a honeycomb?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So you know, it's made up of little cubicles of wax, right? The winter honey is in there. If it gets hot, that wax will melt, and the honeycomb disappears. So that's why he's covering it up. He wants to be able to eat the honey. And honey I can eat on Shabbos. Nah, that's not so poshut, whether you eat the honey on Shabbos, because the honeycomb is attached to the kaveret, where you ought to be rode as a chalos drash to take it off of me or not. So you have to assume that they were removed from the honeycomb before Shabbos and just left them there for, with the intent of using it on Shabbos if he wants to. Amalei Ravukh Mimeshan Ravashi Tainar Bimosa Hamo. When do you have honey? Honey that you need, that you want to eat. That's during the time when the bees are making honey. Dikidvash Bimos Hakshomim the Lekidvash Mikramema. Look at Rashi. Lesson in apiary science. Lo nitzlcha ella leosam shechalos. Even in Mosak Shomim, there were two big honeycombs. That's chalos vash, honeycomb. Two honeycombs is always in there. And those are the honeycombs he wants to eat. If he eats those honeycombs, the bees won't have what to eat. And Simosak Shomim, there are no more flowers. He's giving up the business. The bees will get hungry. They'll fly away and join another hive. Or they will die. Some of you may be aware from your reading that we're suffering a major calamity now in America, that a virus came in and killed so many bees that it's interfering with the whole agriculture, because bees are not made and are not raised in America to make honey. That's a minor issue. The main reason for raising bees is to rent them out. You rent out your hives to the farmers. The bees pollinate their fruit and so on. In the absence of bees, the whole pollination stops. So the shortage of bees, they're importing bees from Europe, etc., in order to maintain the system that's used is you always must leave over a quantity of honeycombs for the bees to eat during the winter. Otherwise, they'll die of starvation. Well, so there always are honeycombs in the kaveret. Nu, lo nisrael alos shekalos. That's the expression, meaning the residual honeycombs that are left in there to feed the bees during the winter. Those chalos davach he designated for the bees. They're really muktzim. They're muktzim according to Rav Shimon. Because now it's a mix, mukse, machmas, cheslon, kiss. If you don't provide them with honey, they will die. And for the Gemara, the choshev alayil. No, he decided, he said, to give up the beekeeping business. And he intends to use Erev Shabbos. He designated this Shabbos, we're going to have some honeycombs, some honey from these honeycombs. But if he did not designate them for Shabbos use, to take away the huktzah for bee use, then also, if that's the case, and we often ask this question, if you want to teach me something in halacha, it's always of greater value to teach the difference between two things that are similar than to teach the difference between two things that are dissimilar. Therefore, I ask you, in the structure of the halacha, the way you taught the halacha, look back how the halacha was set up. I'm telling you halacha concerning beekeeping. So I tell you, like Pulsa Marcellus, right there, Ubuvacho is coming Lotzud. Seda and Muksa are so far apart. Seda is the Raisa, Muksa is the Rabbanon. What do you tell me? I can do this Dover, it's not Muksa. But you can't do the Raisa of Seda. Who would think to jump to the Seda? Why do you tell me that though? What you should have said is, look at the back again. Yehochi hoard the tani. Ubuvacho is kavin lotzud, which is a far away something that never would that occur to me. Of course, it has been lotzud. Lifrog belista bididor. I could show you a chilik. It should where I would know without your teaching me it. Namely, v'med v'amurim kshechishem aleim. Oh, special aloha, talk about Sheikh Halos Dvash, right? No, that's it. I went ahead, I put Marcellus there, and you tell me you can do it only because there's honey in there. And then I have in my mind the problem, but honey isn't there all the time. You most like Shomim, what do you do? Oh, there are two Halos Dvash, and Choshev Aleim. Oh, that I wouldn't figure out for myself. A Chilik from Seder, right? Even Binyamin asked the question on his own. So ask me two bigger questions. You got to be too smart to ask such a question, right? Yeah. So that is the pedagogic achayus of the Gemara. Gemara is recorded for pedagogic purposes to teach you. Well, it's a bad way to teach. You taught me that the honey is not mukse, right? Fine, I wouldn't. It's important halacha. But remember, don't get confused. You shouldn't go around capturing bees. Who would think such a thing? So, there's nothing else you want to add it? Okay. But here you had a very important distinction to make. When can I put the Pnei Akshomim? There's big rains were just near the soil. Right? I want to protect my bees, they shouldn't drown. So I want to put something over the hive. I put something over the hive, but I can't do it. Ain't clean it till davar anitel. So, oh no, there's honey in there. What kind of honey's in there? The sheikh halos dvash that you left over. What's left over is you maximi daite not to use it. Left over for the bees. No. I changed my mind. Erev Shabbos, al choshev aleh. All that you couldn't figure out on your own. That I needed the Gemara to tell me. So why would the Gemara tell me something that anyone who has any chushva halacha would understand? That because I told you to cover the hive, surely I meant don't cover the hive and make sure that no bee can get out. That's Seder B'Shabbos, that's Issur D'Oraisa. Therefore, surely it meant I covered, we'll leave a little hole with them. I don't go out, they can go out. I'm interested in capturing bees. I'm interested in protecting the bees from the rain and the heat. Look in the web. So it seems over Ihochi, hard the tunny. Hold the timing. Instead of teaching me, Bubachi is Kabalotzud, Liflog, Belisna, Bidido, you should have made this distinction. Bamed Voramamurim, when can you cover the hive? Kishachishav Alehen, when you went ahead and designated the Shtei Chalos Dvash for food. Not for food for the bees, for food for yourself. Avalochishav Alehen also. And for the Gemara, not a good teretz. The kasha is a good kasha. Teretz is a weak teretz. No, ho kamash molan. No, maybe it's what you teach me. Alpha pisha chishav aleim, bavashu is kavan lotzud. That was the kasha. The kasha was, that's something you didn't have to tell me. Nevertheless, I'm telling you, even though chishav aleim, but he can have kavana to prevent the bees from getting out. Like, well, money, Rav Shimon, who would then teach this halacha? The halacha of chishav aleihem. Who needs to know the halacha of chishav aleihem? If it's Rav Shimon, let's say muksa. He doesn't need chishav aleihem. A honeycomb is good for man, as long as it has any utility for mankind. There's no mukse. I Rab Yehuda, kilo miskaven my havi. Okay, now before we go any further, but we have a kasha on this gemara, a terrible, tremendous kasha. Rab Shimon also wouldn't be moide. I told him shemcheson kis. Rab Shimon says also it's also. And if I take away these two chalos of ash, the bees will die of starvation. So why don't we according to Rav Shimon would be mutter? Why would be mutter without chishuv aleihem? Not mutter. According to Rav Shimon, just as also, I'm talking about the chalos of ash that you need b'mos hakshomim for the bees to survive. You take that away, the bees will die. He's in business. He's an apiary business.
So
look at the Tosha Shishenim on the side. I never found out what it means. Old Tosha's, new Tosha's. I thought maybe it means the Tosha Shishenim, right? So that you shouldn't fall asleep. They put down to Sefer an addition to those who fall asleep to remember that kasher I could have figured out myself. What does he say? Look at it. Mashma lei sheyesh am chalos harbe de lo have mukse mach mechesen kis. An unacceptable doubt. Kasha, the good kasha. Why is it chesun kis? So I gave you a teretz when I learned it. I said it the first time. I said right away, and he gave up on his being a beekeeper. He wants to eat it. Oh, he knows that to eat up the chalos dvash, they'll have nothing to eat. I'm out of business. I'm not interested. Let the bees fly away. Go to someone else's hive. That's the way the Rebbe Shatni Mo. This teretz is not a good teretz. Why? If there are a lot of chalos dvash, then why do you need choshev aleihem? Going to anybody? No chalos dvash. Everybody's mode are human food, are not mukse for Shabbos. The also chalos dvash, and the whole mukse sninu. They're designated for the bees. No, if I have 100 chalos dvash in there, I'm not designated for the bees. So it's not an acceptable teretz. The way the Rambam Pshat in the Gemara is, yes, chishuv aleihem, he's taking away the only honey that's in the beehive, because he's out of business. He doesn't want to be a beekeeper anymore.
Sir, could we just repeat again the question and the answer of the Gemara, and then what Tosfot doesn't like about it?
Which?
I'm not totally following the Shlach Matzari of the Gemara, oh. and then your critique and Tosfos critique.
Okay.
It. So we just say again outside what the Gemara said, yeah, and then.
Mo says, the case is talking about, start off from the beginning. Masker Kashi, you, Rabbi Yitzchok, hold. Yitzchok is not here today. Yitzchok is. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchok holds, right, that ain't clean nitel devar nitel. So look, I can take my blanket and cover over a beehive. Beehive is ain't devar nitel. It's mukzah on Shabbos. And you want to know, it's honey in the bee. I'm not interested in the bees. The bees will take care of themselves. I want to prevent my honey from melting, my honeycombs from melting. Right, therefore I'm covering up. Okay, good. So we'll ask, nu, tein av mosachama, how about mosak shamim? Mosak Shomim, he says, right, there are two chalas dvash, even Mosak Shomim.
So there's still honey.
Therefore, I'm still covering for the honey.
Okay.
So you're still honey, that honey is mukse, because you mocked that for the dvorim.
Okay.
Right. And my point I made was, but that's mukse even according to Rav Shimon.
Why is it mukse for Rav Shimon?
Because
sure
it's from Cheslin Kis. When I designated for the bees, because I don't want my bees to die over the winter. So, and that Rav Shimon's motive, that's aksimidaite.
But You're not moving or touching the honey, so why why is it a problem from Shimon? You're not touching or moving the honey. You're covering it with a blanket.
No,
so it's not even for Shimon shouldn't be
no,
mukse.
The Gemara says, well, Hatayna, but Rab Shimon is not mukse, right? Rab Shimon is also mukse. That's why the Tosfos you showed him adds, oh, it's not mukse machmas chesan kis because the bees will stay alive from the other honey. But that's not the shaka b'taya of the Gemara. Most shaka b'taya is why you need chishav aleim because that's the only honey that's there, and that honey was hooked to the volum. That's a kasha for everybody, not teinach Rab Shimon. It's a kasha for everybody because Rab Shimon is also more than that kind of mukse. Rab Shimon less the mukse, the Gemara says, but is the mukse machmas chesan kis. As I explained to you, because that's called aksa midaite. I don't want to call it, she caused me any loss. So therefore, I made it mukse. You with us?
I think so.
Let's take the Gemara, remember to again.
Because if the
beast
dies, he loses money.
That's
right. Top from the top.
Right.
That's where Bimos HaChama, you told me that I'm covering up the hive. And the hive is Eina Dover Anitel.
Right.
So, a hive is Dover Anitel. I'm not into the hive, I'm into the honey of the hive. And I'm protecting the honey. Therefore, I'm allowed to cover up the hive. Right? So, what do you do, Bosak Shomim? We're Leket Vash. Then you cover it over for the bees. That's Mukse. That's Eina Dover Anitel. And the Gemara, Lo Nitzcha Lo Shtei Chalos. So, Gemara has more Muksus Dinu. Those chalas were designated for the bees. So you were makse midaite not to use it on Shabbos. And for the Gemara, no, he changed his mind. Choshev aleil. So I said, you have to remshad choshev aleil, and he's giving up the bee business. Because if he's not giving up the bee business, we wouldn't be able to ask the kasha about Rab Shimon later. That's what we put in right away. And what... If choshev aleil, then what's we want the bees? No more chalas for the bees, right? And the bee obviously needs lechem mishneh.
He can't bring them after. He can't bring new ones after Shabbat.
Huh?
He can't replace them after Shabbat. And
no, you have to. He takes them out to eat them. Once you eat them,
right? He can't go and get from somewhere else two new ones just to leave them. Bees won't last that long.
Yeah, you can do that. But I doesn't introduce that. We have to deal with what the Gemara is dealing with.
Why does Rabbi Yehuda at the end hold that it's mukso?
Why what?
Why would Rabbi Yehuda hold it's mukso either? If you're going away from the bee business, it shouldn't even be mukso machmas kesaron kis.
Which one?
Rabbi Yehuda, we're assuming, holds of mukso. So
Rabbi Yehuda holds mukso.
But Rabbi just said that it's not mukso machmas kesaron kis.
Right. Everybody holds that mukso.
So what type of mukso is this then?
I'm sorry?
So what type of muksa is this, then?
According
to Rabbi Yehuda.
That, it was huksa for the bees. Okay? Here, right now, we're okay. It was huksa for the bees. What does huksa for the bees mean? He designated for the bees, right? Now, he wants to use it, too. I designated for the bees. I designated I designated fruit to give to the animals, but I changed my mind. But Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshos, it was designated for animal use. Now I changed my mind. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't change your mind. It was Muksa Machmas Huksa. It was hooked up for that purpose. But what does Rav Shimon say? As long as there is a human a utility left in it for me, I never give up on that. I have a right to change my mind. So, but over here, there's a special problem. If it's the only chalos dvash, then there should be no chilik between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda because another aspect comes in. The hooks of machmas chesun kis. Right? The bees will die. Therefore, I put right into the pshat, and he's going out of business. Right? Now we'll see what the problem is. The problem with that is, hold on a minute, let me get back again to the suit. Yochi, what? Ho, but lo choshver leo, my osu. Then why didn't you teach me that important chilik? When can I cover the hive only where choshver leo? But lo choshver leo not. Instead of telling me, when can you cover the hive when you're not blocking all the openings so that the bees are not captured by it. Who's jumping to, what are you jumping to say though when you teach me a halacha here in Muksa? That's the question. Again, Ihochi, hoard the toni. Instead of learning Babachu Iskabin Lotzud, that's the contrast. What's muta, what's also? It's muta to cover the hive, right? But it's also to capture the bees. I want you to tell me the halacha about hives and muksa. So you should have said, it's also to cover the hives, unless choshev aleihem. But if lo choshev aleihem, you can't cover the hives for the purpose of preserving the honey. Because that honey isn't your honey. That honey belongs to the bees. Therefore, I need choshev aleihem to take it back from them before Shabbos. Lifra gulista bidido bamed v'amurim kshechoshev aleihem. Also, and the mother, no, how come Ashbala? No, he's telling you that even after Pitcher Chishav Aleim, you shouldn't think that you're all clear. Now you can do whatever you want. No, you still got to be careful when you cover the hive, even though now the hive is not mukse, because then the hive now contains honey which is designated for human use, because Chishav Aleim. Nevertheless, be careful not to close the hive completely because of Tzeda. And let's get into the next piece of it. Right? So now you might ask, Mani, who in the Machlokes, Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, who would this halacha agree with? He, Rav Shimon, he had the less than mux at all. And here's where the kasha is. If it's mux, Machmas Ches and Kis, Rav Shimon is also mux. That's why the Tosfos Yishenim, right, had to take away the Ches and Kis. He said, oh no, as far as the bees dying, there are other honeycombs in there, right? But what? These honeycombs that were designated for the bees' use, when I have a hive with honeycombs, right, I got to make sure that I don't take away the critical honeycombs, so I put an X on the two honeycombs so that the people coming in, they know these honeycombs are not for you. So he says, now, then he wants to eat these honeycombs. It's a Christian telestasis, but nevertheless, there's nothing better offered. Then he wants to eat these honeycombs. So as far as Cheslin Kis, the bee's not going to die, the other honeycombs. But these are the honeycombs that he designated for the bee's winter food. And these honeycombs now he wants to use them for Shabbos. Therefore, according to Rav Shimon, use them. Who stops you? There's no muksa. He says, E Rav Shimon, right, less than muksa. E Rav Yehuda, Kilo Miskavin, my Havi. Hodova Shane Miskavin also. So the first part is a kasha on Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, you hold that there's no muksa. Why did the Gemara say that you have to be Chishav Aleim? Not Chishav Aleim is not muksa anyway. According to Rav Yehuda, the second part is a kasha. Ubabacho Yiskavin Lotzud. He shouldn't have kavanah to capture them. I don't have kavanah to capture, but I did capture them. Wasn't no kavanah to capture them. I put a blanket over the entire hive, but I have no kavanah. I'm not interested in capturing the bees. They don't go away anyway. Bees stay in their own hive. I'm not interested in capturing them. They can't get out now to forage there. Well, after Shabbos, I'll take off my blanket. It'll stop raining. I'll take off my blanket. Let me finish this point, right? Kilomer is covering my habit, so don't you also? There's no problem. Lo lom Rav Yehuda. Maya Babacha is coming lawsuit. Should I send or commit to the district work of Kokechno Litsada Bimela? What is he telling you? That you ought to be careful not to close it down so that it's, in fact, you close them down. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Eino Miskabin is also also. Therefore, you got to be careful not to close it down so completely that no bees can get out. Because even though you're not interested in capturing the bees, you're not afraid the bees will run away. Nevertheless, it's a Maaseh Tzedah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, Eino Miskabin also. Therefore, what do you have to do? L'shavek l'rafka, you have to leave one little open spot, ke'echad l'lissadu, so that it should be a tzedah. That's how we learn Chadon Sin. Okay, what do you want to say?
If we're already concerned with the aspect of Chisron Kis, then we say, on a separate note, then we say, if he doesn't, he's not choshev to have from it, but he was choshev to leave them there for the winter so that the bees will live from it. Now if it rains or it's sunny, he doesn't put something. Now Chisron Kis is going to melt out, it's going to die. He lost his bees anyway. He's out of the bee business. So if he doesn't cover the, then he has Chisron Kis.
If he doesn't cover...
If he has no intention to eat from it, but it starts raining on Shabbat, and he has a desire to be in the bee business.
Right.
Now, if he left the two chalot specifically so that the bees will live through the winter and they are going to melt now, then he's going to... Then what happens if he goes and he puts only in order to save the bees? That's Chisron Kis, because the same way that we would have said earlier that he wouldn't have eaten it because he didn't want to ruin...
But the issue is he wants... We're assuming he start off the beehive is the bees are double chain and nitzel b'shabbos. Therefore, you can't according to Rabbi Yitzchak. That's what we're going trying to understand Rabbi Yitzchak's position. Rabbi Yitzchak would hold that it's also to do so. Right? The Gemara says that's mutter to do so. He says no. He's not intending. Forget about the bees. He's not talking about the bees. So about the honey. He's only talking about the honey. Therefore, the honey is double nitzel. I cover to save my honey.
Right.
Gemara asks, what about the Moshe Shomer? There is no honey. He says, no, Moshe Shomer, there's always honey left over for the bees to eat. That's why the Tosfos tell us is a Tosfos Yishonim tell us is a difficult tell us because the whole Sakra Taiga Gemara is, I said, there is no honey. So, oh, yeah, there is a little bit of honey there. The Chalos say for. Suddenly the Tosha says, no, but the other honey too. That's not what the Gemara says. Gemara says, there is no honey. Gemara asks the Kasha, Bimosa Shom, there is no honey. He says, yeah, there's always the residual honey used to feed the bees. He says, no, and then what? But he says, we're talking about Chishav Aleim. Right. Wow. So why do you need Chishav Aleim? So I asked, even according to Rav Shimon, you need Chishav Aleim. Because lo Chishav Aleim, that's designated for bees use, and there's Mishum Cheslin Kis, there'll be Mukse. Even Rav Shimon wouldn't allow you to take those challos rash.
But could we learn from that because he was Chishev, that because of the Cheslin Kis, that he was Choshev Aleim, that they're not Mukse, so that he could cover them just to save them, even if he doesn't want to eat? Is there any makor for that?
If they were designated. Don't forget about Rabbi Yitzchak is here too with Rabbi Shimon. We're trying to fit in Rabbi Yitzchak. I have to classify the hive as Dover Hanitel. If it's not a Dover Hanitel, right, then we have Akasha and Rabbi Yitzchak. How did the Gemara allow you to cover over the hive? Enkli Nitel or Dover Hanitel. You can't use your blanket for that purpose. Right? So how are we going to answer? You say, according to Rabbi Shimon, right, there were two chalos there. Those chalos, according to Rabbi Shimon, are mukse. Right, you need Chishav Aleim. If no Chishav Aleim, then Mukse, because the Cheslin Kis. So the Tosh Yishonim comes in with a violation of the Shaka V'Tayah of the Gemara. The Shaka V'Tayah of the Gemara is that there was only those. Gemara asked the Kashi, where is the Drash? Most of the Shaka ain't Drash. You asked me there was Drash, therefore I did it for the Drash. is no dvasha. He did it for the bees, and the bees are muksa, right? He said no chishav aleim. But according to Rab Shimon, you don't need chishav aleim. He says, right? Who said that we don't need chishav aleim? Even according to Rab Shimon, you need chishav aleim because those chalav dvash are the sole sustenance of the bees, and the bees will die. It'll be a chesen kis. That's the difficulty of the sugya.
I'm saying, do we have any? Let's say that, just to look at it, just to ask against Rabbi Yitzchak, if we want, is there a makor to say, Rabbi Yitzchak, I want to call it a davar hanital, because I don't want the bees to die. Can I go and put it? I don't have any makshava to want to eat from it.
No, davar hanital means you can take it and use it yourself.
That you can cover it though. That you can. End of Arnita.
I need the Dava Hanita. I need the hive to be kosher for Shabbos.
Right. So because you want to keep the bees alive, is there any makor to say that you can now go cover it so that the honey would be.
You're doing it for the purpose of the bees, and the bees are ain't nital. That's the key thing. The bees are ain't nital, the honey is nital. So I say, but now the honey is also ain't nital. Right, so you say, but according to Rav Shimon, the honey is always nital, because he doesn't hold for mukzer. So my kasha is, but according to Rav Shimon, he does hold for mukzer. Therefore, I put in right away in the Hezbollah that he has to go out of business. He's going out of business, right? But these were designated already for the bees' use. Therefore, they're mukzer. So you need chishav aleim to take off the mukzer. But Rav Shimon, I don't have to take off the mukzer. That's a kasha. So if there's not a chesen kis because he's going out of business, then according to Rav Shimon, it shouldn't be mukzer. That's what Moraz. So according to Rav Shimon, the Moraz says he's quite right. This Gemara goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. That there is mukzer. According to Rav Shimon, may we need chishav aleim. Ugulvad, so he's coming lotsu. Okay. Rav Asher comes and asks the question that you should have asked. Rav Asher Omar, would you run in this business with summer and winter and rain and who mentioned him on? What does the place say? Post about selling the garbage bowl, the Shabbos, Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. That's all it says. Now you come in and tell me, what about summer, what about winter? That's not the Witte Gemara. You ask me that question. You want to ask a Kach Rabbi Yitzchak from a Breise, right? That's not in the Breise, the story about summer and winter and so on. You ask me questions. I answer your question about what will be winter, what will be summer. But you're asking a Kach Rabbi Yitzchak from the Breise. The Breise doesn't hold Rav Yitzchak. It's called Rav Miktoni B'Mosra B'Mosra Shomim. Right? B'Pnei Achama B'Pnei Achama Miktoni, what do I mean? B'Yom Nisan B'Yom Tishri. Right? The Ike Achama, right? The Ike Shomim, the Ike Dvash. I mean, you can't ask a Kasha on Rav Yitzchak from here. No reference to when there is no honey. There's always honey, right? You're not talking about be most hakshomim winter time. Most hakshomim means rainy time. When it rains, you have a problem of covering up the hive. But there's no mention about yeh chalazvash or chalazvash for the your learning pshat in the sugi doesn't make a kasha Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak is because the sugi is against Rav Yitzchak. Amar lo Rav Sheshes. Yeah. Here you have a reminder. We're dealing with Torah Shabbal Peh. And no Gemara. You look up a Braise. Right. So Rav Sheshes, the great Rav Sheshes, maybe he was blind, And maybe that's why his reputation was so great, that he remembered accurately what people said. Amalu Rav Sheshes, Puku Vomu Le Rav Yitzchok. Please go out and inform Rav Yitzchok. Kvar Tirgmo Rav Huna Le Shmaiter Bebovel. Rav Huna, who is the later Amoroim, right, like Rav Sheshes and all, which means he's a Machia, right? He's already accepted your pshat, Einklin Nito Le Dovra Nito. No, sort of a everybody is starting up with Rav Yitzchok, right? Attacking him. So she sends a message, tell him, not so bad. In Bovel, right? They have already accepted your psak. Ain't he nito and davar nito? Look at Rashi. The Shmaiter, right? Your teaching, right? The Ein Kli Nitel, the Vanitel was already, Tirgumah was already translated, meaning transferred over to Bovel, and they've accepted it. Where do you see that they paskin like Rav Yitzchok? Ein Kli Nitel, the Vanitel. Amar Rav Huna, Osen Mechitzo Lemes Bishul Chai. And also mechitza lemes b'shul mes. You can't make a mechitza for a mes. What is it? The fellow had a heart attack outside, and the sun is beating down on him. And the biggest b'zoyin hames is putrefaction, that he should begin to decay. And that's the real reason why we rush to bury. So the person will not show any signs of decay. That's why we're matir on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Tov, the first day Yom Tov. It says Yisasku bo amum, you let goyim bury him. We don't like goyim to bury our dead, but first day Yom Tov, second day Yom Tov, right? Then Yisasku bo Yisrael. Was the rabbanon we make on but the first day was Yisu d'Raisa, not. Yeah. What are you so that's why my Shreel Zatzal came out with an Isur on burying on Yom Tov there, and we don't bury on Yom Tov, the Chassidim bury on Yom Tov on the first day, on second day Yom Tov, I mean. First day Yom Tov they don't bury either. On second day Yom Tov they bury Yisaskabo Yisroel. Yeah. And the Shreel showed all his first few years of experience in America. The aloha yisaskabo yisrael means only those necessary for the kvua. So you mean a father doesn't come to a son's funeral? A son doesn't come to a father's funeral? No, he's not among the burial crew. He's not digging the ditches. Therefore, he can't go. Right? He can't kind of go there, do a nisa, jump in the car and drive over to the cemetery. So the fact is, he saw that. The Yom Tov Sheni, it becomes a regular funeral. Everybody goes. Like Yisaskavo Yisrael. But Yisaskavo Yisrael means only those necessary for the Kavur. Not for the Kovod Ames.
The Hasidim hold that it's
permissible. And Bizman Hazeh, there's no putrefaction. Bizman Hazeh, we have refrigeration. Ames dies, they put him in the refrigerator. They should remember to take him out. But otherwise, there's no problem of putrefaction.
What was it, even reeds are allowed to be put on there? Like, even non-necessary things?
The what?
Doesn't the Gemara say that even non-necessary things are allowed to be put on there? Like, they say myrtle and...
On second day Yom Tov, the Hetzer is, for Jews, it's a covert for the mess, the Goyim shouldn't deal with it. The second day, they allow Jews to deal with Jews.
Right.
Yeah. But those means only those necessary, the burial squad. It's not necessarily the clue. I mean, they're digging the grave, carrying the body, so. But you end up with a regular funeral on second day Yom Tov. That's why he said that Bizman Hazeh, since there is no, the only reason the Rabbanim were matir second day Yom Tov is because of putrefaction, because of nivul ames. But Bizman Hazeh, there's no nivul ames because we refrigerate well. In fact, there's some people. Go off to Liba Tzavor, they go to California, or they carry them to California, and they deep freeze them.
Cryogenics,
so that 100 years from now, when they discover a cure for the disease that killed them, right, they'll be able to wake them up again. I mean, crazy as it sounds, there are people doing it. It's a business.
Not worried about that.
Saw this terrible report in the paper about Madoff's son who committed suicide. So to avoid a tumult, they cremated him yesterday.
What tumult were they avoiding?
Huh?
What do you mean avoided tumult? Tumult about what?
Madoff's son.
Yeah, he committed suicide, yeah.
Committed suicide. He hung himself.
Okay. So in terms of the cremation,
he's been depressed. Whoever wrote about him said the nicest things about him. He's an Ado Hoshur in every way, a nice fellow, and had nothing to do with the father's business. He was.
Isn't this the one that revealed him?
Huh?
Is this the one that revealed the whole scheme?
The one, what?
One of his sons outed
both
him.
Both
of them?
Yeah.
Anyway. Even Reform Jews don't cremate, but they demand.
It's actually very popular, Rabbi.
Huh?
We just in practical rabbinics.
It's getting practical. Yeah.
It's like I say, like 1 in 4, 1 in 3 cremate now.
Yeah. Why?
Why? Because it's convenient
cheap.
And it's cheap.
Cheap. That's all.
It's
right.
Very
cheap.
Cheap relative to.
But actually, it's not a bad. It's not a bad idea. They should get used to sitting in the fire. It's an early training program. Yeah. What's the case there? So the fellow had a heart attack outside. The sun is beating down on him. Remember, Mole says that happened on Shavuos with David HaMelech. Right? They came to ask Shlomo the Shaila what to do. Ovich mutal b'chama. David HaMelech, don't do it.
So what was the shaila? The shaila is David Melech's in the sun.
Huh?
He was in the
shaila.
Sorry?
So David Melech was in the sun.
Sun? They wanted to move him. It was Shabbos Shavuos.
I mean, he was nifter on Shavuos.
Yeah.
The question is, can we move his dead body? Okay, fine.
So what's the eitzah? Well, put a tent over him. But there you see, ein kli nitl, davar nitl. Mess is not davar nitl.
But there was muksa back in times of Shlomo and David?
Of course.
What? Of course?
Of course.
These are durabanans. But why were you assuming that durabanan existed back in...
started over that time. Moshe Rabbeinu also durabanan.
You think Moshe Rabbeinu kept muksa?
I don't know muksa, but we have a whole list of all takonis, Moshe Rabbeinu, all the rabbanans that he made.
No, and Echanami, but I'm saying that the kind of muksa, I thought that was a much later.
No, but
double
metal,
there
was muksa.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's a. I mean, the guy is from the Gemara.
Okay,
Right.
But Rabbi, we're saying that the Chassidim.
So Mes Hamutul Bechamo, born Shnei Bnei Adam.
We're saying that the Chassidim on second day will drive and do everything.
Huh?
In today's day, Chassidim. Will drive and do everything?
In Muncie, Bells, Satmar, Vizhnitz, and Square Town. And Square, all buried on second day.
But do they hold that there's any issue? Once they've done the burial, now can they can drive back? There's no problem?
Yeah,
the Kvura's done.
Yeah, of course.
Why?
But I'm assuming that they have some discipline, only those necessary for the burial go. I mean, it's fair asking it because the Messias is that we don't worry about Nivul HaMes, therefore there really shouldn't be a Heter on second day Yontif, Bimchal second day Yontif. Yeah. But he added to it the reality that when he came to America, he saw that on second day Yontif they're burying it, and the funeral parlor was the house next to the yeshiva where they davened. Yeah. He saw it came second day Yontif, it was a regular funeral, 100 people. out in the cars, etc., because they very certainly entered. See, he also came out of tshuva, and that's been widely accepted.
Yeah, but that's why I'm asking about the Hasidim. Do 100 people go, or it's only what's necessary?
I never attended their funerals on second day. Yeah. Okay. Again, look quickly. Yes. Bes hamutl b'chama, bom shnei bnei odom v'yoshu mitzido, cham lehem. Yeah, these are a little bit of a haroma. Right. So I go ahead. I have enough sechel not to sit out in the sunlight. A hot summer sun. You want to go outside? Sit. You sit in the shade. And today I decided I want to take a sun bath. Right. So I sit next to the mess. Right. Oh, and my friend sits there on the other side of the mess. And I say, oh, it's getting too hot. So I bring over two chairs, right, next to each of us. And I spread a blanket over all of us, right, and I sneak out from underneath. You got the picture?
What about Bnia?
Huh?
What about Bone?
No, that's not Bone.
Why? Why is that different than walking with an umbrella?
We'll get lost in a minute. First, for the finishers, then we'll take care of the umbrella. Okay. Zem Avi Mita, he brings a chair, better yet, you have a visual, a bench. He brings a mito, I remember, was not only for sleeping, it was a mito, but you sit on too. Zem maybe mito v'yoshev aleo, zem maybe mito v'yoshev aleo, cham lehem milmala, maybe a machzela sepostan aleihem, zem zoke pitoso, then decides to take his bench and stand it upright. He stands his bench upright, right? There. V'nishmat v'holechlo. So what? I made a gag without mechitzos. Then I made mechitzos without making a gag. So I don't know, no isobona.
Just because it's kliach eriyad?
Yeah.
Just because it's with a shinui?
Not shinui. It's not a bona. If I go ahead and I have a bench that's lying on the ground, like in shuls where they're not using all the benches, suddenly as a simcha, they want take the bench and lift it off from the ground. Right? That's not a bone. It's a haroma, right? You're making monkey business. V'nimso mechitza asu yimei leo. Okay? So what do you see from here? Why do you need all this haroma? She'en klei nito lo ledavar nito. Araya te Rav Yitzchak. That's what Rav Sheshe said. In Bovel, they already paskin like you. Where do you see they paskin like you? In the case of the mess.
Right.
Otherwise, if you do me the aloha of entering nitel, dover nitel, I can cover the mess up, right? Directly. Okay. We'll stop here, I think. Yeah, now they're going in now into a little bit more on the Mukta Shalokidako. Mukta Shalokidako, going basically what's known as Tiltul Minatsad. Right? Not direct, but indirect moving the Mukta. Okay. And this is a little while, let's touch a little bit on Chumash. Okay. Who needs to make a brush of this?